ask an attorney about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. And if you have a legal question, the law office is open. We're open every week during this time period. And if you have a question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care, surrogates. Can be just about any area of law. And we're here to help as many people as we can during this hour. Actually, it's 52 minutes of straight. We're on no commercials. You know, I don't allow commercials on my show. I would probably rather not do a show than have commercials all mixed in through it. So we have an agreement on the stations that carry the show. We do 52 minutes straight run. You can do all of your commercials at the end of the show if you like. But you have a 52-minute straight run of Ask an Attorney. It's a live show. It is August the 10th already, 2019. We do live shows. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial that toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power attorney, health care surrogate. Can be about living wills. Can be about real estate, can be about spousal rights. Had an interesting question yesterday about spousal rights. And some people are just do not have any idea of what spousal rights are upon death. And maybe we'll start the show talking about that a little bit. But if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Always like that first caller coming in. And we're doing a live show here. So, spousal rights. So I had a client, we're broadcasting today from Jacksonville, by the way. We broadcast from Jacksonville every other week. And we broadcast from Tampa every other week. And 99% of the time, there are live shows where you get to call in and ask legal questions once in a rare wild, we have best of tapes. Every week I pull off a question or two, and we save it. And if I ever can't be on the show for some reason, which is very rare, we play a best of tape. There are a few tapes we play during the course of a year. So on some Easters, Easter vacation, do a show called The Trial of Jesus. I had a great show with an interview with a judge who had been to Israel, who had examined the whole trial of Jesus and all the errors that were made in the trial. That was one of my favorite shows that we rebroadcast on some Easter holidays. We have another show, the 4th of July. We did a show with a pastor concerning Christian Nation, Christian Founding Fathers, We did a show on that. Or a 4th of July show, but most of the time it's a live show. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. So the scenario, a client who had been married, I think this was their fifth marriage, and they were getting a divorce, and the client owned the home that the married couple lived in just her name, and had for a pretty long time. It was a fairly short, the fifth marriage was a fairly short marriage. So the client was coming in to do a living trust, and we talked about putting the home in the trust and how I wasn't going to be able to do that if there was no premarital, postmarital, or property settlement agreement. then the husband would need to join in on the deed to the home into the trust because of homestead rights. So what are homestead rights? Well, homestead rights are the spouse has a right to live there for life, or the spouse has the right to sell the property, actually, and take half the proceeds, take a tenants in common with half ownership. All right, so that answer didn't go over very well. The person said, why did my family law attorney call me and tell me that? Or why didn't my family law tell me that during the process of me filing for divorce? And so I said, well, I don't know. Let's call him. So we called the family law attorney while she was there. Family law attorney acknowledged everything that I told her was accurate and that she would, because of the short-term marriage, that she would wind up with a house and we could transfer it into the house at the time of either the property settlement agreement or the divorce. So client was a little bit more relieved, but not totally happy. She couldn't do what she wanted to with her own house while she was married. You have a question about that or any other legal topic, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Phyllis in Winter Haven, Florida. Hey, Phyllis.
Yes.
What can we do for you today?
I was wondering if there's a time limit on resolving civil lawsuits.
Well, there's statute of limitations. There are just hundreds of statute of limitations on different type of matters. The most common statute of limitation is 5 years on, like, a contract.
Okay. As I've heard, you know, of cases dragging out 7 years or longer. And I just wondered if there's a time limit.
Yeah, well, once you start the litigation, I mean, if you file the lawsuit, that the 5 years mm-hmm. doesn't matter. You don't have to finish the lawsuit by the end of 5 years. You just have to start the matter for 5 years on a contract. Okay. And there are a lot of other statute of limitations that are shorter. It just depends on the matter.
Okay. Does a state have special privileges when it comes to, like, if you have a lawsuit against the state, do they have special privileges on time limits?
I think it depends on the matter. Yeah, but I'm sure most all matters have a statute of limitations number, and I don't know. I haven't memorized all of them, but yes, there probably would be, so... Well, you have to get an attorney to probably research that for you and let you know. But almost always the best answer is if you have a legal matter, deal with it as soon as you can. Don't let it linger on for a long period of time.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Carolyn in Lake Alfred. Hello? Carolyn? Okay, I can't hear you. So I suggest maybe you call back because we don't have a good connection.
Hello?
Yeah, okay, there you go. Okay, what can I do for you?
Hello? Yes. I stayed in a hotel and I used their valet parking, and it was parked in an area that was marked off for parking, and it got damaged. It's been about $3,000 for the repair. I had to repair the hatchback and the bumper. The hotel won't take any responsibility without me going to an attorney. Actually, I wanted to go to small claims court. Is that going to be difficult or even possible with a corporation? Because the hotel is a corporate, of course.
Well, let me ask you, have you given it to your insurance company?
Yes, and the car's been fixed. But all along, I've been trying to communicate with them, and I, out of frustration one day, when the general manager wouldn't return my call, I called the hotel, and the girl that was on duty that I called, I said, listen, I need him to call me because I really don't want to go to small claims court, but I will if he doesn't call me back. So then when in one of my emails I sent him, he said, well, you said you were going to, you called an attorney or take me to court, so I can't talk to you. And so he's using that as, you know, an excuse to say, well, that's why I'm not going to talk to you.
All right, so and, your insurance company, your insurance company had the car fixed? Your insurance company paid for the car being fixed?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Except I'm only asking him for the $500 deductible and the part that they didn't pay on my rental car.
Okay, so when you told him you had an attorney, that was, you didn't have
one. No, I didn't tell him I had an attorney.
Oh, I see.
I never said the attorney word. He said it.
Okay. Well, write him a certified letter telling him you're representing yourself. You feel like they're responsible for the $500 deductible. And you're going to go to small claims court unless you hear from him in, you know, a week. And send a certified letter.
Okay,
verbal, yeah, phone
yesterday.
Calls don't work. Yeah. You did that
okay.
yesterday?
Yes, I mailed a certified letter to himself, and then I went and online to see who the corporate officers were, because this isn't the first time incidents. The hotel has done some, you know, lousy things for people,
mm-hmm.
and so I even included some of those other things, you know, letting them know that he's really not doing a very good job managing, and I just want him to take responsibility. I mean, they parked it in a place that was obviously not even a parking spot.
I see. Did you go online and figure out who the registered agent of the corporation was?
Well, I got the president, vice president, and secretary.
Okay,
registered agent?
You have to go online and see who the registered agent of the corporation is. And then the papers...
Well, is that different?
It's different. It's probably very different than an officer of the company. It could very well be an attorney who, you know, is their corporate attorney.
Okay, how do I do that?
You go online, you go to myflorida.com.
Okay.
They have a list of all the corporations, LLCs, all the companies, and who the registered agent is there. You can find it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, yeah, I could probably do that. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
Another quick question. When I take them to small claims court, am I going to have an issue? I mean, who do I address that my claim is against? The hotel?
Yeah, the hotel.
Individually?
The hotel, but the papers are served on the registered agent that you find online there.
Okay. All right. Will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, phone lines are open if you have a legal question at 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question, love to help you. Let's go to Vanessa in Jacksonville. Hey, Vanessa. All right, Vanessa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what can I do for you?
I needed to find out during a divorce. I've been married for 30 years, and I had a settlement and bought an older home and renovated it and spent a settlement on the home. My husband didn't want the home, but once I got it fixed, he wanted to move in and all that. But now he is hollering it's 5 years that when we divorce, and I'm just trying to find out what rights I do to keep or how much I can keep of the house.
All right, you filed for divorce, but the divorce is not final, is that?
Not final.
And you don't have a premarital or postmarital or a property settlement agreement in the divorce proceeding?
No.
Well, just like I opened the show with, the spouse has, is the house in joint names or is it just in your name?
I put his name on it.
So it's jointly held? Well, it's jointly held, which means he owns half. So,
okay. Yeah.
Now, you might be granted the right to live there, but upon the sale...
But I am on disability.
Okay. Upon the sale of the house, it sounds like it'd be a 50-50 split of the proceeds of the sale.
Okay. so I would be entitled to live in it until.
Well, no, I didn't say you're automatically entitled. Oh. I think you need a family law attorney to represent you and ask for that. I'm not sure what you'll get.
Okay.
On a divorce question, you can't really cherry pick one question because the court looks at all of the assets and many other factors to determine who gets what.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, 877-943-9673. And let's go to attorney John Frazier. John's a Medicaid VA attorney with their firm, and he comes on with the legal advice for the week. What's that? Hey, John, how are you today?
Hey, Joe, how are you doing today?
Good. So what would you like to talk about today as far as Medicaid VA planning?
Today I was going to talk about the new durable power of attorney statute, which is really no longer new, went into effect October 1st of 2011. And unfortunately, since that time, I've literally seen hundreds of power of attorney documents that do not comply with the new power of attorney statute. And a properly drafted power of attorney is probably the most important Medicaid pre-planning document that a person can have. About 25% of our clients need what is called a qualified income trust. And if the power of attorney is signed after October 1st of 2011, it's got to have what are called superpowers in there, which have to be either initialed or signed by the signer of the power of attorney. And if that's not properly done, we cannot set up our qualified income trust. And if the person has lost their capacity to sign a new power of attorney since the time that they signed the prior power of attorney, we will not be able to do our trust, and that will lead to what is called guardianship, unfortunately. And I've seen that happen a number of times over the years.
All right, so I see this myself and people coming in to review documents all the time. So if you, and my recommendation to almost all my, we send a letter every 3 years to all of our clients at the firm suggesting they update their power of attorney every 3 years. And power of attorney that our firm does, John, they're from, they're 106 different powers, and from paragraphs 97 through 106, you have a choice to initial those. And generally, I recommend all my clients, even no matter what the size of their estate, is to initial paragraphs 98, 105, and 106, which all deal with Medicaid.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and getting the personal service contract and being able to shift assets around and maximize what you can get from government benefits. So I totally agree that all of that's very, very important, that they have an updated power of attorney.
Seen this problem certainly with non-attorneys finding their powers of attorney from the internet, from nursing facilities in some cases. They continue to use powers of attorney that they used prior to the new 2011 statute. I've also seen numerous, probably hundreds of powers of attorney documents drafted by Florida attorneys, and those are typically attorneys who work in non-Medicaid planning, non-elder law, non-estate planning practice areas like personal injury, real estate, things like that. And the person can still use the old power of attorney form for banking purposes. So that's why it can be used, you know, for some things, but it can't be used to establish a new trust, which, like I was saying, we need in about 25% of our cases.
Yeah, I tell you, a lot of banks are very picky about power of attorneys, too, and they have their own rules about if they accept power of attorneys and how old they have to be and so forth. So it's very important, I think, to really update power of attorneys and also health care surrogates and living wills. But
true. And that new power of attorney statute also gives banks much more flexibility and authority to reject power of attorney documents. So that's, I think that's another reason why these documents especially should be reviewed after the October 1st of 2011 if they were signed after that date.
All right, John, if someone wants to call you with their own personal Medicaid question or maybe have you look at their power of attorney to see if it needs adjusting or anything, how would they do that? What's your contact information?
The office number is 727-586-3306, extension 104. Cell phone is 813-431-3193. And my email address is john@attypip.com.
All right, John, I'll repeat that information for folks at the end of the show there, but thanks so much for calling.
have a great Saturday.
All right, you too.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call the radio show right now at 877-943-9673. And let's go to Joe in Largo. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, listen, I have a neighbor who started a dog kennel next to my house. And I live in unincorporated Largo, but I was at the law library, and I seen what the statute said on the noises about the barking dogs. And I'd like to know, can I sue the landlord, and should I do it either in a small claims or a civil lawsuit?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you checked to see if the person has a license?
Yeah, I know for a fact he does, because we've in the neighborhood have called on him before, and SPCA has come out and helped him become licensed.
I see. So how much ground do you own? Do you have an acre or so type of property?
Our houses are next to each other. In fact, he put his dog's puppy pen, after he has a litter of pups, underneath my bedroom window. And it's a rotating cycle over and over and over.
And how many dogs does he have?
Well, he started out with 3, but I'm sure he's up to about 8 now. And he brought in 3 more dog cages that hold 3 dogs per cage. So there's a total of 9 more cages.
Well, you have the... I'm surprised the county would even issue a permit for that. Or a license.
I don't know how they've done it, but they've managed to go through it and around it and everything. And I'm tired. You know, I work in the morning. My wife works early in the morning. We'd like to be able to sleep through the night without being woken up to the dogs.
Yeah. Well,
So
you called the police. That doesn't work, right?
What's that? Say it again?
You've called the police, and that doesn't work.
I've called the police, and all they do is come out and ask them to shut the dogs up. I've even talked to code enforcement, and I've even talked to the animal control.
Okay. Well, I think if you want to file a lawsuit so you have the quiet enjoyment of your property, which you're entitled to, you're not going to be able to do that yourself. You're not going to get very far if you do it yourself. You're going to need to hire an attorney to do that for you and advise you from that point.
That's why I'm calling you, to find out what I should do. And can they be sued is what I would really like to know.
Well, anybody can sue anybody, but whether you're going to be successful or not, it is a big question mark.
Right.
So nobody could guarantee you a yes or a no answer on that, whether you'd be successful.
Right. Well, does your office represent something like this?
No, but if you want to email me, I'll try to find a name for you.
Okay.
And I'll give that out during the show here.
Perfect. Thanks. I'll be waiting to get it from you.
All right. Thanks.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Phone number, if you want to call the show, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Harry in Tampa.
It is. I don't know. I hope...
Harry, are you talking to me?
Well, I was wondering if I'm still in queue.
Nope, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. Appreciate talking with you. Okay, a foreclosure case. The property was a quick claim deeded to me. Dear friend passed away. The foreclosure action started. It's been 2 years at least. At first they said they didn't have the note, but I have documentation from the servicer that they said the wet ink note, I can go see it, but I have to travel out to Oregon to see it. Foreclosure started. They said they lost the note, but then I've got documentation I sent back to them saying I want to see the note. They said they've got it, but even in the complaint it said they didn't have it. Evidently, the attorney firm found out that I knew, or they had admitted that they had it. Now they put an amended complaint that say they've got it. Do they have to bring that original complaint into the court?
I think they'd have to prove they have it. Are you being represented by an attorney by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're represented by an attorney...
Now, the attorney says that if they don't bring it into that courtroom, even though they have an affidavit saying now they've got it, that they would lose. And I'm just kind of confirming that.
Yeah, since you're represented by... It's unethical for me to even talk to you at this point. Now I know you're represented by an attorney. But generally, I would think that they have to prove, and just saying an affidavit may not... If your attorney sounds like the attorney's on the right course of making them bring it to the court to me, but it's really improper for me to get involved. You have you're paying an attorney to do a foreclosure and just a couple-minute phone call of me trying to guess exactly what they have and don't have would be totally inappropriate. But so
yeah,
just ride with your attorney. Your attorney, probably if the attorney does foreclosures and is experienced to that, and he or she knows what they're doing, so just hang in there.
Hope so. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Let's go to Stan in Nocatee. Hey, Stan.
Yes.
All right. What can we do for you?
Oh, well, I have a question about wills, and I have my wife and I have wills that we had made at least 40 years ago, and the executor of our will is my older brother, and we have looked our wills over, and they say everything that we want our wills to say, but... we would like to change the executor of the will to my daughter, who now lives down here in Florida with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just wondering what it takes to do that. If that's something you can just write in yourself on the document or
no,
how that's done.
No, you can't write on the document because the document was witnessed and hopefully notarized. And you can't just now go back and write on it because then the people who originally saw you sign it are not there to see the change, and you can't just make a change on a will. People do this all the time, and they destroy documents, and they come in, I fuss at them a little bit, and I said, look, you just destroyed this document. You can't just write on an original document to make a valid change. So basically, you have to do a new will if you want to change the, or a codicil. We charge the same thing for a will or a codicil, so most people just do a new will. And change the personal, it's called personal representative in Florida, so your wife would be first and your daughter can be second. There's no problem there.
Uh-huh. Okay. And if we did not do anything to it and my brother predeceased us, what would happen? Who would be the executor of the will?
All right. So if there is none, then your daughter can petition the court to be appointed. If you don't have a backup to your brother in the document.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you this, though. So if you say you came in to see me, and I do have an office in Jacksonville, we're sitting there talking, and I ask you, do you know your will's going to go through probate when you die? And you would...
Yeah, we understand that about Florida. It's kind of weird about that now.
Up in Ohio,
where we're from, it wasn't like that, I don't think. But
Well, I'm sure they have some form of probate in Ohio, but so the answer to that question would be what? Do you want your will to go through probate when you die?
Well, if I've been listening to your program, and the only way I can see that we have to avoid that is to get a trust made.
Well, that's not the only
way or the other. I'm going to pay for it.
The minimum probate fee we charge is like $2,500, and then the cost. Take it over $3,000, and it's going to be more than that in your case because I'm sure you have more than the minimum size estate. That's just for a real small estate. The fees are 3 to 6% basically, and it could be a big number. A trust, we have flat fees for all of our trust documents. So if you had a trust for a married couple, the fee would be $695. And that would include a joint trust, two wills, two power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, and two living wills. And that would avoid probate upon death of anything that you have in the trust.
I see. And what if we had, like, other accounts, like, up in Ohio and things like that? My brother, who's the executor of the will, also happens to be our financial guy.
You know, so, financial accounts, no matter where they're located, it can be in the name of the trust.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, everything up there, I don't know. All that smoke and mirrors on what they do when they invest your money and stuff like that, you know. But I know that they're all designated with beneficiaries and stuff like that.
It's just simply a matter of adding the word trustees behind your name and your wife's name and put the date of the trust. And the trust has your tax number. It's your Social Security number. So there's no difference in record keeping or tax returns or tax implications. It's just a fancy will that upon your death avoids probate.
I see. And then if we should leave Florida again and go back to Ohio or Indiana or somewhere up that way, would this thing still be good?
Yeah, your trust can just be amended.
Okay. So, in other words, looks like we're coming into the office to see you.
You know, that is wonderful news for me. You know, Nocatee is the reason it's one of the reasons that I came to Jacksonville area. So I have 20 office locations. My wife loves the Atlantic Ocean. We live over on the Gulf in St. Pete, Tampa. So we started coming here quite often. And I said, well, if you want to come here, I'll come, you know, at least every other week. But I'm going to want to work on Thursdays and Fridays when I come. And I'm going to want to set up a radio show to tie in with my, you know, 14 other radio stations that carry the program. So we come every other week on a regular basis. I work on Fridays, see clients, do my radio show on Saturday, and then otherwise that we're sitting on the beach reading night Kindles, enjoying the beach. Nocatee is one of the reasons I really wanted to be in this area. That's a great community, one of the five fastest growing communities in America. So I just saw the potential of having a practice near Nocatee anyway. But I look forward to seeing you.
Oh, and your office is where?
Well, okay, so do you know where the Ruth Chris restaurant is? Over on...
No.
Okay, you don't? Okay, I am literally 5 minutes from you in Nocatee.
Really?
And it's 617... when you make the appointment, they'll give you the exact address.
Okay.
But there's a shopping center where there's a Ruth Chris, a Madura's restaurant.
Is that where Pusser's is at?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm right next door to that. And that Ruth,
okay.
That's where the Ruth Chris, and it's got Raymond James on the top of the building. But I mean, I'm in that office complex there.
Okay. All righty. Yeah. Okay. So there you go.
All right, Stan, look forward to seeing you.
I have just a little trivia question, just out of curiosity, if you could answer that.
All right.
What's the difference between a lawyer and an attorney?
There's really none.
None?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
I just wonder why sometimes they call them a lawyer and sometimes they call them an attorney.
They call us lots of names. but those mean the same thing.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Looking forward to it. All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to Larry in Jacksonville.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
I can.
It's just radio off. Quick question. I don't know if you're familiar with the area. It's about Medicare.
Okay.
I'm being billed for an ambulance ride, rescue ride, for 5 miles to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea, does Medicare cover any of that hospitalization?
I think they do. I think they cover at least part of the ride, if not all of it.
Yeah. What I've got is I've got bill collectors are sending me letters. The ride's over $1,000. So, which sounds outrageous, but it's probably far from the course. And I didn't... They want me to send money to a P.O. box. South Florida, the third letter, and they keep upping. They keep upping the amount.
Well, do you get a monthly report from Medicaid or Medicare on what they pay and what they paid? And
so no, I do not. No, I do not. They don't pay much.
Well, I would.
But it's pretty much a legalized scam. Medicare is. They don't. You can't get any dental, and you got to get supplemental. So, I don't want to come to drag it. I hate to give them my Social Security number, you know, to a PO box.
Mm-hmm.
And the person answering the phone's probably in a call center in the Philippines or Mexico or wherever. You know, I don't want them to scam my Social Security.
Well, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's kind of asking for a whole lot of information that, you know, you understand what I'm saying? In other words, and I have not retained an attorney in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you, if you can call the Medicare office and ask them what part of this claim, do you know what part of this claim is covered? Or send the bill to the Medicare office and ask for a ruling on how much of this what they would cover.
What is covered and what is not.
Yeah, what is not, so you have a complete understanding.
I've tried calling them direct, and they don't answer. In other words, the call center, they won't answer it. So.
Well, the call center trying to collect the money is not going to be helpful at all to you.
Yeah, of course not. And what they do is the services refer to a third party. It's all third party. And I'm on my third party letter.
All right, let me ask you this. The ambulance company that came to pick you up, have you called them and asked them whether they submitted the bill to Medicare?
No, I have not.
Why don't you make that your next step?
There's no way to call them. They don't have a number. I mean, it's third party all over Florida.
Well, the ambulance company?
Number. Excuse me?
The ambulance company is...
It's third party all over Florida.
Well, I know, but that's, you need to find out who the ambulance company is and see if they submitted your bill for you.
Okay. I just don't want to get scammed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to give my information to whomever.
All right.
Of course.
All right, Larry.
And I didn't call the ambulance to start with. Somebody else called them.
Yeah.
And I was taken against my will. They grabbed me and hauled me off.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, against my will, I didn't even call them. So, okay. I mean, I know I'm throwing a lot at you, and I won't burn any more of your time.
All right, Larry. But I wish you well.
Let me see if I can find out who the company is. It's going to be difficult here. It's very difficult.
All right, Larry. I wish you well.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, we have 20. Then we have, 40. We have 12 more minutes left in the show. And all you have to do is to dial this number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Hey, if you have some helpful advice for Larry there, feel like there's something that I can't think of that I should have probably told him, if you want to help me with that, that'd be fine too. Always like not above receiving help from anyone. A lot of times people call and have other suggestions and things on the show, and I think that's great, and I don't mind that at all. If you would like to receive our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a full-size poster sheet, 5 articles about estate planning. We get lots of requests for this every week, and be glad to mail it to you. It's a double-sided sheet. All of our office locations and addresses and so forth are on one side of the sheet, and the phone numbers and attorneys and website information and radio shows are all on one side, and the 5 estate planning articles on the other. I'd love to mail it to you. If you'd like it, you can get it one of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. You can 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request at 727. I'm sorry, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y, PIP.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. Let's go to Jill in Jacksonville. Hey, Jill.
Hey. Am I on the air?
You are. What can I do for you?
Oh, okay. Well, I was listening to Larry, and you had asked him about whether or not he gets the breakdown of what Medicare has been charged every month, and he said no. Well, I'm a caregiver part-time, and there are a lot of people that I think they throw that out that they get every month, because I've had so many people say, no, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they need to know is it is not the usual size of, say, like a bill or some correspondence. It looks almost like it's the 8.5 by 11 sheet that's just folded once in half, and so it's a larger envelope. And a lot of times these people that I deal with, they just throw it out, and they say the same thing that Larry did. But if he pays attention to his mail, he will have, like you said, he will have that breakdown of what Medicare has been charged.
Now, what's your experience on the ambulance pickup? Do they cover
the
most?
The ambulance, I will tell him also, because I had that experience with my mom a couple years ago. And I think what happens is, you know, they'll send bills out right away to the person that rode in the ambulance that was transported to the medical facility. But I always tell people, don't pay that right away, because they will, their billing department will bill Medicare. And depending on what type of Medicare he has, if he has railroad Medicare, it'll probably pay 100%. Other, you know, just regular Medicare isn't as good as the railroad Medicare. But I always tell him to wait.
Yeah, now
not
suppose
90 days, but wait for a while.
Hey, I'm going to guess what happened. I'm going to guess that Larry didn't want to go and didn't tell the ambulance company anything, including
right.
his social security number. So it could be that he arrived at the hospital and they didn't even know who he was, except maybe his name. I don't know.
Yes. No, I kind of got the same thing. I kind of got that. And I had some questions in my mind about other things. But, yeah, that's possible. But I always tell people, don't be in a rush to pay those bills, particularly if you're on, you know, Medicare, regardless of whether you have a supplement or you don't, because they'll get around to billing Medicare, and Medicare will get around to paying. Railroad Medicare usually pays within the first couple of weeks that they're billed by the facility or the transportation company or whatever.
You know, you could probably go back to the hospital with the bill and talk to the administrator about helping, at least help with the ambulance company to figure out who that was. They could tell him, and they might be able to be some assistance in making the claim. I mean, or following the papers, make sure they get filed with Medicare.
Absolutely. I just wanted to call and tell him that don't throw all your mail out, and do read your mail. Yeah, it won't say Medicare on the top left. It'll be some, you know, Atlanta address or something like that that you won't know. But yeah, look at it. And we used to match everything with the few meetings or appointments that we had each month. And it's really a good idea for everyone to do it. My mom had a small incident where she broke her ankle, and she caught where the podiatrist and the orthopedist had, like, triple billed for different things. And she called the number on the Medicare breakdown. She goes, look, I never had any of that. I mean, it was just crazy, the stuff she was finding because she was looking at it. And if everybody would look at that, it would really help curb some of the double billing, triple billing, and
Hey, Jill, you're the perfect example of ask and you shall receive, because I asked for a little help to help me with Larry, and you were just perfect. So thank you so much for calling.
Well, thanks. I listen to your show every Saturday, and I love it, and you're awesome. So just keep doing what you're doing. It's wonderful.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney. That's me, Attorney Joe Pippin, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question that I can help you, I will do it. And if I need help to do it, I'll do that too. And this, you know, I want to tell you, this is the longest running show in Florida. Next month it will be 35 years I've been on the radio every single week answering legal questions, trying to help as many people as I can. And yeah, I could be fishing Saturday mornings or playing golf or something. You know, I'd rather be here. And I've continually every week, usually on multiple shows, I was nationally syndicated for a while, have been on the radio. We're on like 14 stations around Florida now. When I was nationally syndicated, I was in 39 states and 80-some cities. But what I found out is I couldn't really be as helpful to people in other states as I could people in Florida because I'm licensed in Florida. I mean, I practice law in Florida. I didn't practice law in these other states, and there are some other states that have laws that are quite different than Florida. And, you, of course, you can't know the laws in all 50 states and how they differ. So I was giving more of a general answer to many of the non-Florida questions, so I decided just to stick to Florida. Hey, we have about 5 minutes left in the show. We do have time for maybe one more call. If you want to call in, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And again, if you would like to make an appointment to come in, we don't charge anything for the first appointment to review documents. So I'd be gladly look at old wills, for example. We had a call from Stan there, had the old wills 40 years ago. There's going to have to be changes made on personal representatives. We don't charge anything just to look at those and discuss your options with you. His would be do a new will or do a trust. So I'm sure we'll see. He said he'd come in, so I'm sure we're going to have that discussion. We'd be glad to mail you the poster sheet or give it to you when you come into the office. There's no charge for those first meetings, just to chat and to review documents and offer you some suggestions. Now, if that's your first meeting, you want to choose one of those options and get started. And a lot of people do that, by the way. Of course, we usually get half the fee, send out drafts, so you have a little time to look at your documents and write on them, because they're unsigned drafts. And then we have another meeting to go page by page and explain all the documents and answer your questions. So if you'd like that, again, you have a toll. You can get the free poster sheet one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y, P-I-P, those are P's like Paul, .com. Or you can text me your name and address and say, please send the poster sheet at 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to David quickly as our last caller. David, what can I do for you?
Yeah, I got a quick question. State of Florida passed a thing about self-notary.
Self-notary?
How far does that actually go as far? Yeah, I mean, the Supreme Court of Florida passed that. Or you can notarize your own signature or somebody else's without being a certified notary. Are you aware of that?
Without being a certified notary?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Florida Statute 525. But it went through, if you read it, I can't really get a decision on it. I mean, it pretty much says that anybody can be a notary in the state of Florida.
Oh, without being, well, you know, I'm not familiar with that. So I'll be glad to read it and get back to you if you want to email me.
That would be awesome.
So you're calling from where?
I'm actually calling from Largo, but you give me your email address or whatever, I'll get.
Yeah, send me an email.
I'll get you the information that I have.
And if you have the statute number, that I'd be gladly look it up for you and get back to you.
That'd be awesome, man.
All right, so email, you got my email address?
No, I'll get it off the radio station website, though.
Well, it was just Joe, J-O-E.
Okay, hang on. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, J-O-E.
At A-T-T-Y.
At A-T-T-Y.
P-I-P.
P-I-P.
No, P is in Paul, I-P is in Paul.com.
Oh.
All right, David, thanks. All right.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm here every week during this time period. I'm glad to be here, glad to help you, and I hope you have a great, great weekend. So long.